Welcome to this Stream Globe Word Encounter Sermon by Pastor Abraham Damilola Arigi. Be blessed as you listen and kindly share with a friend. You can learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at streamglobe.org or devotional.ng. You can also contact us via telephone by calling +234 803 442 0524 or +234 813 822 4547. You see, when you truly love people, as you should love people as a child of God, you can win them for Jesus. Because as you are manifesting the nature of God to them, they will see the life of God, and people don't care about what you know if they don't know that you care. But when people know that you care about them, they will care about what you are preaching. Now, because we are heaven, we are creatures of heaven. Let me tell you what sons of God mean. Sons of God mean creatures of heaven manifesting on the earth. Because I can show you places in the Bible where you see sons of God and then he's talking about angelic beings and like, but that is the generic meaning of sons of God. Creatures of heaven manifesting on the earth. When they say we are sons of God, we are actually creatures of heaven. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and verse 27, the Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over everything." And the Bible says, God made them male and female, and blessed them, and said, have dominion. Concluded, that's when every single human being that will be created was created. In heaven. Then Genesis chapter 2, we now see that the Lord God formed the first man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then God said, it is not good for man to be alone. After, I don't know how many days or how many years, he now created the woman. He now said, this is the bone of my bone. Meanwhile, their spirits were already concluded in heaven. And that's why when a child is conceived, they say a spirit was released from heaven. Are you understanding the point I'm making? I'm just trying to make you to know that the way God made man is supposed to be a heavenly being. And because we are heavenly beings, that's why we are supposed to be sons of God, manifesting on the earth. But what happened was that when man fell, man disconnected from that heavenly reality. And man now became even lower than the angels, became like animals. Because the difference between us and animals is that we're just putting... I don't know if you watch Avatar. You remember Avatar? Where those people from Earth went to that planet and then they had to get Avatar bodies and they were manifesting in that planet so that they can interact with the people in that planet. That's what this body is. This is not you. This body, this is your flesh. It's not your real reality. It's your Avatar body. Your real reality. And your citizenship is your spirit being is in heaven. And I am not saying, And you see, the way God made man is that man must always have a body. So, for example, you will see that the resurrected man, the glorified man, the Bible says that his body will be a heavenly body. To be a spiritual body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When Jesus Christ returns and mortality puts on immortality, what will happen is that this body of dust will be replaced with a heavenly body. The Bible refers to it as a spiritual body. Hallelujah. Because the point I'm making is that when you see man was created in the image and in the likeness of God. And man was created our real reality, when you want to go to the back end, because you know that, if you know you're a web developer, you know that the front end of a website is not so important as the back end. You want to really do anything, go to the back end. That's the reason why, even for human beings, if you want to really, really control people, even till tomorrow, you want to really, really control people, go to the back end, go to the spirit realm. Why do you think politicians are very diabolic? They do all kinds of charms and juju and sacrifices. It's because they understand the power of control. People keep wondering, they say, Nigeria, there are so many intelligent people. There are so many professors. How come it is even people that didn't go to school that end up being president? I say it's because they are the ones that understand control. They understand how these things run. You that went to school, you are so bogus. You trust so much in your academic. You don't know that when it comes to control, there are some people that, why is it that in Nigeria, if we just say, this guy is very intelligent, though, he's very sharp, he should be president of Nigeria, everybody will laugh and say, it's not possible. But he's educated. He even has money. He's sharp. He's this. He has experience. He has run international organizations. It is spiritual. The problem of this country is spiritual. Because the people that have held this country in captivity, they are people that understand spiritual things. They are very humble. Because they are wise. So they will go and secure things in the spirit realm and everybody will fall in line, including the professors. And I don't mean this, I don't mean this in any insultive way, I'm just stating the fact. We are still looking for the WAEC certificate of our president. His vice president is a professor. So I hope you now know that it's not by all, it's not by, it is the, even to, the way to control, because man, is a heavenly being. Now when I say heavenly, I'm not even just talking about the heavens of the heavens. Because when man fell, are you with me? Man's connection to the third heaven. He lost divine life. But he still had soulish life or spiritual life. When you say soul, we just use it because when you say your soul, many times your soul can do many things that your spirit can do. It's just a scaled down dimension of your spiritual reality. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. When you talk about latent power of the soul, we are talking about spiritual power. There are people that know how to use soulish power to do magic, to move. They can move, they can do. Look at this microphone, and then they will use their soulish power to move the microphone from here to here. It's a lot of training, but there are people that have sort of trained themselves to harness the power of the soul. But the point I'm making is that what happened with the fall was that man, when God said you will die, that life, divine life that man had, died. And that's why when you are born again, you are born with that divine life again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Because it takes a man that has divine life to see the things that are eternal, that are in the divine realm. Do you understand? So now that you have the divine life, it is an aberration for you to still be living and still have the same outlook of a man that does not have the divine life. Wise people have long-term plan. Kingdom people have eternal plan. Wise people have long-term perspective. They are thinking about the value. They are buying the property, but they are thinking about the value of the property in the next 20 years. Kingdom people, we are doing things, we are thinking about it from the standpoint of eternity. Wise people invest into the future in the long term. Kingdom people invest into eternity. Set your affection on things. See, that is the only way you can live a fruitful life in the kingdom of God. If your affection, your heart, you say where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. If your affection is still on these mundane things that are passing away, you cannot be fruitful. Fruitfulness in the kingdom of God is not a function. See, if I have, you may just sit down and think that, if I go and do Yahoo now and make $1 million, that means I can print 500,000 tracts. If I can print 1 million tracts, and then we'll distribute it everywhere, and then we'll preach the gospel, we are more people who are saved, just joke. Heavy joke. It doesn't work like that. You see, it takes life to produce life. If you don't have the divine life, you cannot produce it. So if you go and do those things, I think that by print, you will print though. But you will just go out that your 1 million tract was not successful in raising one disciple. You may get many people that will come, maybe when you organize your big program and you invite all the big musicians and there's light and everything, but you just go out that not one of them had the divine life. Because you don't have the divine life. It is life that begets life. Ah, Father, we worship you. He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead. He is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. That's who we serve. He's Lord of all. He's King over everything. Every knee we bow. Every tongue we confess. Now, you may not have a lot of money, but if you are faithful, if God has said you will win 1 million souls, just be faithful. Be faithful in the little. Let open your heart, because one of the things about the nature of Christ is that it is meek. And one of the things about being meek is that you are teachable. You are open to learning. You are open to improvement. You will find a person that is not teachable, that is not meek. His learning process of Christ stopped at some point. That somebody who is born again, but is not meek. Because Jesus Christ said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. So, in order for you, if you have a meek heart, you just discover that there are many things that the Lord will be able to teach you so that you can be more fruitful. You allow him to prune you, because there are many things that he will have to cut off. You know when you say you are pruning a branch, it means you are cutting off unnecessary parts of it so that the branch can be more productive. Thank you. So he said, set your affection on things above. So I've told you that our citizenship is in heaven. Genesis chapter 1, when God created man and concluded man, where do you think he did that? And blessed them and said, have dominion, determine their destiny. Where do you think he did that? Heaven. The first man that walked the earth was Adam. May God help us in Jesus' name. May God help us in Jesus' name. And you know, when the Lord, before Jesus will return, there are so many deep things that I don't know if we can go into now. There's a number of people that must be saved in order for Jesus to come. I hope you know that. And the gospel must get to every nation. May God help us in Jesus' name. And that's why you now understand that this salvation that you have, this privilege that you have, that you were born now, and you have the opportunity of accepting Jesus, and you accepted Jesus, and you are now growing in his kingdom, and you inherit a throne. You inherit a throne. And you rule and reign with Jesus. And all of that. This thing you have is grace. You cannot boast about it. What did you do to contribute to the fact that you were not born during the millennial reign? Born to men and women that and be descendants of those that are sinners. Because people think that the things that fathers do don't have a bearing of their children. Ezekiel, what Ezekiel was saying is that the fathers have eaten and their children's teeth is set on edges. That every human being before God has an opportunity before God to make his choices of his eternal choice. Your eternal destiny is not going to ultimately be determined by the decisions your father made. That's why you had the opportunity to accept Jesus for yourself. But if you do not accept Jesus, if you continue in the way of your father, you continue in the way of, and let's say your father was not born again. Like me now, my grandfather was a Muslim. And then the Lord had mercy on my father. And in spite of the fact that he was born into a Muslim family, he had the opportunity and then he accepted Jesus. Let me close that door. So you will discover that your salvation is divine selection. Say we're predestined. It's not, if you think it is it's divine selection. And you that you have found this grace, do everything if you are, because we are supposed to help other people to find this grace. Do everything you can do to help other people find this grace, because it's a rare privilege. It's when time has come that you realize how rare this privilege of salvation is. Because when you compare the number of people that we have thrones to, the number of creatures that God has made, you will now understand that it is a very, 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 very rare privilege. It's rarer than one in a billion. You know, there are many Christians. And then many of them have the opportunity to inherit thrones. But let me tell you something. That opportunity is rarer than one in a billion. That you have it now, you are playing with it. It's not a joke. And that's why when the Lord has opened our eyes and we see these things, we cannot play with this salvation that we have. You see, the angels long to look into these things. Hallelujah. I know I'm saying a lot of very, very unusual things, but they must be said at some point. When the Bible talks about it's predestination, and talks about the fact that you were selected, it says that who God did predestined, he did conform to be transformed, you know, to the image of his son and all of that. That thing is not a joke. But you see, the fact that you were predestined does not mean that you inherit the kingdom of God. You must cooperate with God. Because God has given us free will. Because there's a point you can preach predestination and you preach it to the point that you exclude people's free will. And then it becomes problem. But that's not the gospel. Alright. So, we read last week that Paul said he strives to apprehend that for which Christ apprehended him. Because there is something that Jesus had in mind when he saved you. I assure you, it is not Homer Jeep and Prado Jeep. It's part of the benefits that you will inherit. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. If you need it to fulfill life and destiny, even if you need plane, if you need 20 planes to fulfill life and destiny, God will provide it for you. But for every point in your life, you must be careful to understand the will of God for you then and fulfill it. That is what it means to be wise. At this point in your life now, you may not even need a car. What you really need to fulfill this time of your life and learn all the lessons that God wants you to learn so that you go to the next stage in your life, it may just be enough money to be able to pay your transport. But there will be a stage in your life that you may need a plane. But you see, it's foolishness to measure success using material things. The Bible says they that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. So it is important that we understand the will of God for us at every point we find ourselves. And then we fulfill the will of God, we walk in the will of God. That is the definition of divine wisdom. He said, be ye not unwise, but be ye wise, understanding the will of the Lord. In understanding the will of God, one of the things that you must have at the back of your mind is that you are an eternal being. Jesus Christ saved you for a purpose. And that purpose he saved you for is something beyond time and space. What is this our experience on earth doing for us? It is giving us an opportunity to know God in very, very peculiar and unique ways. Do you know that as you are now a man, the Holy Spirit can come and dwell inside you? And indeed, the Holy Spirit is inside you. He's inside me. That's God, the Holy Spirit, dwelling inside me. I can tell the Lord Jesus Christ in the millennial reign that, Jesus, remember how we were suffering together? Because it's called the fellowship of his suffering. So that I may know him. Because anytime that you are suffering because of Christ, it is considered in heaven that you are also suffering with Christ. Remember when Apostle Paul, before he became Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus, was persecuting the Christians. I don't know if you know that story. He was persecuting the Christians, and he was going to Damascus to go and arrest Christians. Most of them were Jews. So he used the authority he had as the, you know, from the Jewish high priest to go and be arresting the Christians and throwing them in prison. Jesus Christ, you know, confronted him on the way and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, who art thou, Lord? And Jesus Christ made it clear to him that it is me that you are persecuting. Because when you do this to the least of my brethren, you are doing this to me. When he says you are a member of the body of Christ, Jesus Christ actually considers you to be a member of his body. It's just like this, my hand is now is a member of my body. If something pinch my hand, will it affect me? Yes. If you are in Christ, if you abide in Christ, that's how you are a member of Jesus' body. If anything happens to you, because there are things that will happen to you that are process of refining. It's called, there are things that will happen to you that will not be, that because of growth, they may not exactly be pleasant. And God will allow them to happen because it's a process to refine you. I don't have my computer, you know, because I would have shown you a scripture where it talks about how that Jesus Christ himself was made perfect by the things that he suffered. And that's why it's God that there is no, even the way God made us as human beings, if you are going to become really, really good at something, you must go through some discipline. You must train yourself a little bit. Have you ever seen an athlete that is really good that didn't go through the strain and the discipline and sometimes the pain of training? And that's why there's a saying in the world that no pain, no gain. I don't like that saying, but there is some truth in it. Because even in the kingdom of God, there are many things that you have to go through. When people are denying you things that you are supposed to have because you are a Christian, and the Lord will not allow you to respond. When people are persecuting you, there are many people in the world today that are being persecuted because they are Christians. It's called the fellowship of his suffering. But you see, all of those things, the Bible says rejoice when you face trials and temptations. You see, because the trial of your faith worketh perseverance or patience, and this will make you mature. James chapter 1. So this Christianity that says that there will be no trial and you are not going to face any stuff is a Christianity for babies. You know, a baby, if a baby wakes up and feels the slight discomfort, she will start shouting and crying. It's a Christianity for babies. But you know, mature person, as a mature man, there are a lot of things that you will even do. You see, I endure hardness as a soldier of Christ. If you want to develop muscles now, there are some exercises that you do that you know that it is painful, it's enduring. But you do it because you are a man. You're no longer a child. You want to pass an exam. You have to read. You have to put in the work. May God help us in Jesus' name. I'm going to read a scripture and then I'm going to exegete on that and then we will close. It's already almost time for us to close. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10. I wanted to touch on this last week. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10. God bless you. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Who is the we here? Who is us? Yeah, you are right, but the we here is talking about believers. This does not include unbelievers yet. There is a judgment throne, the great white throne judgment that everybody will appear. Believer, unbeliever. Revelation chapter 20. But this is not that. You say we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And what will we do there? Now, you see, when you see the word judgment today, most people say, think judgment is just punishment. But judgment includes punishment and reward. Judgment is reward for the righteous and punishment for the wicked. Hallelujah. Remember that scripture that says that promotion does not come from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. He said, but God is judge. He what? He brings down one and lift up another. That lifting up is still part of the judgment. So, for example, it is that judgment seat that will produce, that will produce practically the apprehension, the possession of your throne that day. That's when we will receive our reward. But you see, many believers forget that we all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Many believers forget. You know, Jesus Christ at one point to the disciples said, you give an account for every idle word that you utter. They will ask you. Because you see, now that you have eternal life, your words are very precious. The reason why your words are not precious is because you have been uttering idle words. And because you've been uttering idle words, you have been rendering your words ineffective. And you don't know that you are doing that at the detriment of the advancement of God's kingdom. When you talk anyhow as a believer, you have eternal life. You are baptized in the Holy Ghost. You now have an eternal outlook. But the truth is that if you have an eternal outlook, it will be difficult for you to be uttering idle words. Jesus Christ was passing by a fig tree. And he wanted to eat fruit from the fig tree. And he couldn't find any fruit on it. The Bible says he cursed the fig tree. It's not as he said, I want to shikwe on this fig tree now. He said, let no man eat of you again, ye tree. Something like that. Just said it in passing. And the tree dried up. If Jesus Christ said, Femi, see your big head. Your head is not big. By tomorrow, your head will be big. That is what happens when you understand the authority you have in your words. You don't talk anyhow. Our president is a useless president. It's clueless. You talk like that. If your president is useless, do you know that you will suffer it more than his children? I hope you know that no matter how messed up Nigeria is, the president's children will not suffer a lot of things. Worst case scenario, they will travel, they will pack them abroad. So you see, our president is, you have eternal life and you don't know that your words are actually creative. There are some things that, ever since I began to understand this, I don't say some things, no matter how angry I am with the leadership, with the president, there are some things I will never see. Because I understand that my words are not just words. They are powerful. They can create. The Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. You see, if you do not have eternal life, the power of life will not be in your tongue. It's only the power of death. That's why it's God that many, many women in the village, they can shake weight, they can curse. But they don't really have the authority or the ability to bless. If not, their children will be millionaires. Because they don't have eternal life. But you that have eternal life, you also have the power of life in your tongue. You can speak life into things. And you must know, you know, now that you know this, you will discover that you can now walk in it. Because the things of the kingdom of God are manifested by faith. They are lived out by faith. See, the righteousness of God is from faith to faith. They are lived out, they are manifested as you. So, for example, were you the one I was teaching about baptism the other day, water baptism, and I was like, no, you are not the one. And I was explaining that this and this and this is the importance of water baptism. You were there now, and somebody said, yeah, I want to go and get baptized again. I say, no, it's not necessary. That if you were truly baptized means that you believed and you were baptized, not that you were baptized before you believed. Now that you know these things that accrue, these things that are the power of baptism, because you now know them, faith has been generated in your heart and it will begin to work for you. Pass me that key. Just like give me that car key now, and I didn't know it was a car key. But I have it. I didn't know it's a car key. I didn't know that with this key, I can move that car. I didn't know. I just thought it was just, you know, a key, like maybe the key of this door or something, or I didn't know. And then you now came to me. But it's mine. You see, I dash you. But I didn't know that this is how I move the car. That by owning this, I own the car. But you now come and tell me that. You now begin to explain to me that. You see this key? When you press this remote and you open the car, You go and put it in the mirror. Do you know how to drive? I say, yes, I know how to drive. I learned how to drive. Okay, good. Say, this is the key. It belongs to that car. This means that the car belongs to you. Do I need to go and get another key? But by understanding, this key, I may have been trekking to Iju Market when I have a car. But as soon as somebody informed me and I understood and I believed, because that's what faith is. Faith means believing what the word of God tells you. And I believed it. And I say, really? And I go, I press the remote, through the car open. I kick the car, it starts. That's what happens when you know some of these things. So for example, you have the power of life in your tongue, but you may not have known. When the Bible says, bless and curse not. See, your tongue should be used for blessing. When I tell you that God bless, sometimes I talk to you on the phone and I say, God bless you. I'm not just greeting you. If you believe that thing I said, God bless you, it will work in your life. Because many times, in order for it to work in your life, I have to believe what I said and you have to believe it too. You know the reason why Jacob could bless his children and everything that he said concerning his children happened? It was because they also believed that those words were powerful. Look at what Jacob and Esau were with. Jacob was willing to do to get Isaac's blessing. Because he believed that those words. You see, if to say he believed that there was nothing behind those words, it won't matter. But the truth is that there was something behind those words. As those of us that interact with God, the spirit of truth, the spirit of life. You know, the Bible says in him is life. Do you know why what Abraham had that he passed down to Isaac, that Isaac passed down to Jacob, and Jacob passed down to his 12 sons? It was life. And that's why it's called that it was transmitted by words. Life, that's blessing. Cursing is death. Cursing puts an end to life. Blessing activates and quickens life. Brings life. You will prosper. It means that things will begin to work. That is life. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you see, the reason why, you know, it says in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Jacob will bless his children and they will be blessed. Isaac will bless Jacob and Jacob will be blessed. They could bless was because they were interacting with the life of God. They had the blessing of God, and that is life. Let me prove to you that blessing is life. Psalms chapter 1. It says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. It says, but his delight is in the word of the Lord, or in the law of the Lord, which is really the same as the word of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. Watch. He said, he shall be, now he's not explaining the dynamics of the blessing. And you see that he's describing life. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in due season. What makes a tree bring forth fruit? Life. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. This is life speaking. So I want you to realize that, you know, we talked about how that we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we'll give an account for all the things that we have done in the body. That is when we will be rewarded. Because actually, the reason for that judgment seat is for reward. It's not even for punishment. It's just that it is unfortunate that some people, when their works are burned up, the Bible says they will suffer loss. But that is not even, that seat is not primary, wasn't primarily created, that judgment seat of Christ for the saints wasn't primarily created for punishment. It was created for rewards. That's when Jesus will say, Dotun, you will inherit from Lagos to Kogi. You rule all that territory. Femi, you tried. From when you were 22, you started following Jesus. You followed me faithfully, and every assignment I gave you, you fulfilled. I'm sending you to North America. You'll be the prince over these 5 provinces in Canada. That's what they called it now, but this is what I'm calling it now, because I don't think Jesus will call we. He will remap the world. He's in his millennial reign. Is a throne. Is a judgment of rewards. It's a judgment of rewards. May we not miss our rewards in Jesus' name. But you can see that the Bible talks about those that mind earthly things. See, if you are born again and refuse to perceive the kingdom of God, and the Bible says that we should have our outlook shaped by the things of the Spirit. He said, those that have their outlook shaped by the things of the world will die. I was reading that scripture yesterday. I say, hey, Because what happens is that if you're a believer, but your outlook is still the same as that of an unbeliever, what that produces is spiritual death. And it is possible to have received spiritual life and die spiritually. Romans chapter 8 verse 13 says that if we walk in the flesh, we will die. But if we by the Spirit put to death the works of the flesh, we will live. 8:13. You will notice that when I'm preaching, I don't quote scriptures like that. I will just tell you Romans. There's a reason why. There's a very serious reason why. It's only once in a while I will just tell you Bible verses and Bible chapters and verses. Number one is because of the way I read the Bible. Number two is because of the way I understand scripture. Scripture was not primarily made to be quoted with verses and chapters. In fact, verses and chapters were introduced in scripture about 400 years ago. The problem with verses and chapters is that it makes us to compartmentalize scripture where God does not want us to compartmentalize it. It separates scripture in places that is not supposed to be separated, because you are supposed to read the book of Jude as a single book. You are supposed to read the book of Romans as a single. Don't separate it in your mind. It's a whole letter. It was written together. Anyway, that's just a by the way. So, you will see that if even though people are believers, if they still mind earthly things and they live for themselves, it produces spiritual death. It does not mean you have to go and be committing fornication or adultery. If you are worldly, it says, you know that place we read in Philippians chapter 2 verse 18, it says, they mind earthly things, say their God is their belly. He said they glory in their... Do you know that the church in Laodicea, Jesus Christ wrote to them to warn them because they were rich. But Jesus Christ told them that they didn't know that they were naked. They were poor. They were miserable. And they were blind. Because they were picking glory from the things for which you were supposed to be ashamed. Let me tell you something. If you are a believer, and the reason why you are like this, the reason why you are satisfied is because you have money in your account. Not because you have souls that have come to Jesus on account of you. You know, there are some believers that God gave them an opportunity to win more souls. And at the same time, the prince of this world gave them an opportunity to make more money at the expense of winning more souls. And then they took making more money and they say, Owo ni keke inhirere. When they appear before Jesus, they will realize that money that they had is something they should be ashamed of. Because Jesus will say, because you cannot go to Jesus and explain that the reason why you couldn't win souls was because there was no light in Nigeria. No. Because there are some people that God has sent. He said, I want you to stay here. I've given you influence in this environment, in this community. Preach the gospel here. Win souls here. They say, no, there's no light in Nigeria. I'm going to America. When you appear before Jesus, will you be able to tell him that the reason I didn't fulfill your call is because there was no light? What do you expect Mary Slessor that left civilization and came to Africa to preach to see? May God help us in Jesus. We will stand before the judgment seat of Jesus. And we will not be ashamed. You see, there are many people, even though they are believers, when they appear before Jesus, they will be ashamed. Because there are many things that they are taking. They say, my ministry is this, my ministry is that. And they don't know that Jesus is shaking his head and saying, you have lost it. Because you have lost the focus. Ministry is not about amassing wealth. Ministry is about impact. And your ministry cannot have impact if your life is crooked. Let me say that again. Your ministry cannot have impact if your life is crooked. At the point your life started becoming crooked was the point that your ministry started losing impact. Impact is not measured. Many times it's difficult to track impact. And I say all the time. If you look, study Apostle Paul, at some point in Apostle Paul's life, he said, everybody has deserted him. He's the Paul. He said they should bring Mark. If you brought Paul to this way of measuring ministerial success, many people will say Paul was a failure in ministry. Paul. Because his ministry was not measured the way we measure. His ministry was about impact. It was about raising disciples. It wasn't about any other thing. You see, the way God made us as human beings, we don't have the ability to focus on two things. Try focusing on me now, focusing on that fan. See whether it's possible. It's not possible. As I'm looking at, I'm focusing on you, I'm looking at you. If there are 55 people behind you, as I'm focusing on you, I cannot see them. I can see them with peripheral, but I cannot focus on them. I can only focus on you. You can only focus on one. That's the way God made us. When he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, let the kingdom of God be your priority. As you focus on the kingdom of God, God will take care of those things that you are not focusing on. But if you keep looking up and down, may God help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the way, sometimes you may not even, and this is something that I find very difficult to say, I myself being a minister, who wants a lot of success. I thank God for the success that he has given us in ministry. But I want much, 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 much more success. But sometimes this is very difficult to say. Many times, you may not even know. I'll keep that. Let me not discourage you. But let me tell you this. The best place for you to be is in the center of God's will. That's where you will find the joy and contentment the most. Be in the center of God's will. That's where you will be that the devil cannot kill you. Because there are many people that the devil can kill. And there are many people that the devil kills. But when you are in the center of God's will, the devil can't kill you. He can't kill you until your time has come. When your time has come, I say, well, yeah, what is the best way that we die now that will glorify God? The devil can't kill you. When you are in the center of God's will, the devil cannot destroy you. When you are in the center of God's will, the devil cannot steal from you. He says, the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. He steals. When you are in the center of God's will, the devil cannot do these things. Even if he looks as if God allows him to do some things, he's working out for your good. It must work out. He said, we know. He was talking to believers. He was not even preaching it to them, because these were people that already knew from many things, including experience, that all things, tell yourself, all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. All things. Not some, not most, all things. But the point is that you love God and you are following the purpose of God for your life. Thank you, Jesus. So we are all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. As you go into the day, don't forget that. As you make plans for the future, remember that you have been bought with a price. Your life is not your own. Don't forget that. As you talk, when you are talking with your friends, don't forget that. Because whether you forget or you don't forget it, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Let us pray. We must all stand. I want us to pray that, Lord, I don't want to be ashamed on that day. I won't lie to you, many will be ashamed on that day. They'll be ashamed. You don't want to appear before Jesus and then you discover that you have been a disappointment. You've been a waste of his investment. God forbid. Lord, help me. That when I stand before you on that day, I will not be ashamed.